Wir haben ganz gewaltige
We have heard very powerful words.
Am liebsten
I would have preferred to remain seated or just say, let us stand up and worship. I tell you, when you sit there and take in God's word with all your heart, something happens within us. It has an effect. We have it read to us. The word of God is powerful. It is effective. And I must say, it has had an effect. I wish I had sat down quietly in the room next door to listen to my brothers proclaim the word. I was deeply and sincerely glad about that. What saddened me a little was that we are not all able to go along with it as we should. Perhaps we do so without being able to show it. That is also possible. But consider what words of God came to us. What abundance of words we have heard. What has been given to us by grace is just enormous compared to many thousands and millions. And we should give our hearts a little push and praise and glorify the Lord much more. As our brother just said, the word is quick. It has made us alive. We have not been preached to death. We have been brought from death to life. And if this fact really exists within us, if it has become reality, if it is not just written down, but is experienced truth, there is truth that is written in the Bible, and there is truth that has been experienced. We need both. The truth that is written in the Bible, and then to experience this truth. We have heard it. It is written, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Thus it is written, and so it is true. But when what is true and written becomes a truth we have experienced, then it is even better. Then the word has been able to accomplish what it was sent to do. The abundance of thoughts that have already been expressed here today, that have been read from the Word, is truly immense. It is almost impossible to summarize them, but I will keep it short because I did not intend to be here this evening, but every time I can, it is my conviction, I just belong under God's word. And I believe that every person who has the fear of God within them will know what is right. 1 hour in the courts of God is better than 1,000 elsewhere. And when we enter His sanctuary, We do so with a deep desire to meet the Lord, and He meets us in His Word. The thought that God makes all things new ends with a new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. When we read Revelation 21, the very first verse speaks of the new heaven and the new earth. If you read on, it says, "Come, I will show you the new Jerusalem, and behold, he saw the bride." The bride is the divine new creation, and she will be in the new Jerusalem. That is our home. Paul explains this in Galatians, saying that the Jerusalem here leads to bondage. The Jerusalem above is the free one. It is the mother of us all. The thoughts of God, which have been given to us, revealed and communicated to us in the Word, are numerous and powerful. We have often said here that transformation begins in the heart of man and ends with the transformation of the body. Those who have not been transformed in their hearts, who have not become new, who have not been transformed, wait in vain for the transformation of the body. The transformation of a person, the divine, the new in a person, begins in the heart. That is why God speaks through the prophet in the Old Testament, "I will give you a new heart and a new spirit." It begins with a new heart, with a renewed heart, with a transformed heart. And then Paul writes to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15, the well-known word from verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Who are these we all? Who are they? The true believers. Those who have accepted God's word in faith, who have allowed it to work in them and on them. They will be the ones who will then be transformed. And that will happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We have been told that the heavens will be changed, that they will be rolled up, but we must also be changed in our hearts. Transformation begins in your soul and mine with a new life that we receive from God. We will come back to the other passages in a moment. I believe I read a verse from Mark chapter 4 earlier, if I'm not mistaken. Mark chapter 4, verses 33 and 34. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. As they were able to hear it. Did we hear it? As they were able to understand. The Lord did not always say everything to everyone, depending on how much they could take in, how much they believed, how much they would understand. What good is it to a person if the Lord spoke to him for a day and he did not understand? The Lord spoke in parables, we know that. But I was concerned here with the term the word. I will read the verse again, and then verse 34. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. But without a parable spake he not unto them. And when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. All things. Not just one or two things, but all things. Now we will ask, then after this speech, what he said should come now. He still speaks to us today. And we can say that he does not speak in parables, but freely, openly and clearly, through revelation, through the enlightenment of the Spirit, through the light that has fallen on the Word. For the Word itself is light. And we immediately notice when God has plans for a person. If someone has no respect for the Word of God, how can God speak to him? It is impossible. First, man must have respect, divine respect, reverence for the Word of God. Only then does the Word begin to become revelation to us. If we have no respect, and that was the case with the scribes at that time, I will quickly read three verses from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. I am not prepared for this. I just came to be here. But in John 8, 37, it says, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. They had their own words. They had more to say than needed to be said. They were not even prepared to listen. And the world is full of such people today. There are people who, if you gave them time, would never stop talking. But they talk past God. First, we must learn that in the presence of God, no human word has any validity and no human being has anything to say but God alone. And at that moment, reverence begins, and the Lord will not only speak His word to us, He will reveal it to us. In the same chapter, verse 43, it says, "Why do ye not understand my speech? That is the question. How is it? How can it be? How is it possible? What is the reason? Why do ye not understand my speech? Not your way of speaking, not the way of the scribes and Pharisees and so on. But how is it that you do not understand my way, the way of God? How is it that you do not understand my way of speaking?" Then comes the answer. "Even because ye cannot hear my word." The world is full of this too. And when it was said earlier that God's word is everywhere, that is true, 100%. But the prophet Jeremiah writes, "The pen of the scribes made it a lie." God's word is God's word. But what have the scribes and Pharisees made of it? This verse is one of the most important and perhaps the most meaningful in this chapter. How is it that you do not understand my speech? The answer, even because ye cannot hear my word. They were not willing to listen at all. I say it again, the world is full of this today. They don't even want to start listening. I read a sentence in the Seals book today, consisting of about 3 lines, where Brother Branham says something like this: "When you present the word to a person and he is not ready to listen, leave him alone, for God has no purpose for him." A person with whom God has a plan will be ready to hear God's word. And I will read it to you from verse 47. "He that is of God heareth God's words." Amen. Amen. He that is of God heareth God's words. And here we see who is born of God. Whoever is of God, whoever is truly born of God, hears the words of God and also believes them, and the word becomes a living revelation to him. The Lord had to give the scribes something along their way. And he said to them, "Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God." A harsh statement. We would say, "Beloved Lord, what you said was unkind." No, God's love and God's truthfulness belong together. God cannot compromise. He cannot pat the scribes on the shoulder and say, "Well, it's not so bad. You don't see it, but keep doing what you are doing." That is not possible. The truthfulness of God demands that the Lord speak the truth. And He has always spoken the truth. And only the truth can set us free. And the truth is God's Word. This verse is also very important. He that is of God, in brackets, whoever comes from God, you know exactly what it means, whoever is son or daughter of God, whoever is begotten by God, born of God, hears God's word. Then he looked at these scribes and said, "That is why you do not hear the word, because ye are not of God." But now put yourselves in their position. Men who read from the Torah, men who preached the word, who taught the people, who were knowledgeable in the scriptures. And the Lord tells them, after first confirming that they are Abraham's seed, and afterwards he says, "Your father is the devil." What is that? Abraham's seed on the one hand, and then, "Your father is the devil, and you do not hear because ye are not of God." These were words that pierced to the bone, as we have read. But they were necessary and are still necessary today to show us that whoever is of God hears God's word. He does not rebel against it, but faces God and His word and says, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." Or as Isaiah puts it, he listens attentively as disciples do. He hears as disciples do. Disciple and pupil are the same word. One sits down to learn, to receive instruction from the Lord, to be addressed. The scribes did not need this, and the Lord said this to them. I have omitted the verses, but anyone who wishes to can read John 8 from verse 37 to 47. The context says it all. May it be true of us that we are of God. And because we are born of God, we hear God's word. This brings us quickly back to Hebrews before Brother Rus comes. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder. It penetrates. It separates soul and spirit, marrow and bone, penetrating everything, dividing asunder. We read this in Hebrews chapter 4 about rest, about disobedience, and that we should not fall. Then verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Our Lord said back then, I judge no one, but the word that you have heard will be your judge on that day. We too have heard the word of God in great abundance. The word will judge us. That will be the standard, the yardstick by which we will be judged. I do not want to return to chapter 1 because that would take more than a Bible study. If you have been following at least 6 or 7 scriptures from the Old Testament have been listed there, and if one were to ask a theologian to answer verse 9, I do not know if he would be able to say anything. I will read verse 9 without commenting on it, if I can. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. What now? Therefore, God, your God, what now? Who did what to whom? What happened? What is this about? Oh, what depth! What depth of God's riches and knowledge! Let me just say one thing. The earthly part of our Lord, the body, the mortal body, had to be, let me use the word, deified. It had to participate in the resurrection. It was an earthly body, and this body, upon this body came the anointing of the Spirit to claim the divine right to this body. We will come back to this in due course. God intended to bring sons and daughters who were human beings back to the divine state. And you will see that it is necessary that all who want to be transformed be filled with the same power of the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. This is what the whole thing is aiming at, but as already said, it is simply too extensive to delve into these thoughts now. Let us summarize. God revealed himself as a human being, and this human revelation of God had to happen for our sake, and it did happen, so that we could be restored from our humanity to the divine state. We were originally created in the image of God. And then God made man out of earth. God was not made of earth at that time. But then, when man fell into this state, God came out of his spiritual body into the flesh, was born into this world like you and me in order to redeem us. And he, as the firstborn, imagine, here it says, of the firstborn, when he is the firstborn, and then the firstborn is suddenly God, who was anointed with oil. You can read that God anointed Jesus and that he went about doing good and so on. As already mentioned, many scriptures could be cited, but ultimately, everything is divine revelation. A person could rack their brains and still not know what to make of it. But when we see what God intends, why he revealed himself, namely for our sake, so that we might return to him, then we are grateful for every hint in the Holy Scripture, for all the connections. We see him as the firstborn among many brethren. We see him as mediator, as advocate. We see him transfigured from his humanity back into his divinity. Paul sums it up very nicely. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Everything happened for our sake. Thanks be to God for his holy word. Thanks be to God that he revealed himself and his plan of salvation to us. I tell you, there will never be anything like this again. We have found grace before God. Believe me, we have found grace before God. And therefore, we can sing with certainty and truth, you have revealed yourself to me. He has revealed himself to us. May it come to pass that he may also reveal himself through us in his power. Praise be to his holy name. Amen. Let us pray. We thank you together for this evening. We thank you for your precious and holy word, Lord. We thank you for your blessings we have received again, Lord. You have blessed us, Lord, because we have received your word, Lord. We believe your word, Lord. Grant us grace, Lord. Grant us strength, Lord, that we stand firm in the faith, Lord, that nothing may throw us off course, Lord. Grant it to me. Grant it to my brothers and sisters. Grant it to us all by grace, is my prayer, O Lord. My God, help all your people. Everywhere, in all places, we pray in Jesus' name. Be merciful to all, O Lord. Do it now and be with us when we depart. Praise and thanks. Lead us together again tomorrow and bless us, that we may glorify your name, that we may praise you, that we may worship you from the depths of our hearts. As long as there's breath in us, Lord, we will praise your name and sing your praises, you Most High. Hallelujah. Receive our worship in Jesus' holy name. Amen.